Tonight's message is entitled, and now a word from our sponsor. Sometimes I get the craziest ideas about sermons. But I thought about this one tonight. See if you enjoy what I'm going to preach to you about. You know, television has been around for almost 70 years. And it matters not to me whether you have one or not, or what your conviction is about that. That's not anything about what I'm preaching. But just the fact that television has been around for 70 years. And in those 70 years, from the very beginning, an important part of television has always been the commercials. And I guess maybe I ought to ask you, what is the goal for the TV sponsors or the commercials? Now, your answer would be, the goal of television sponsors is to try to get you to remember their products. Isn't that what they're trying to get you to do? Try to remember their products. And one of the most effective ways to do that, of course, is to develop some kind of a catchy slogan or catchy phrase and repeat it long enough until you finally get it in your head. And every time you think about that little thing, whether you're at the store or whatever, you'll repeat that little slogan and maybe buy that product. Pretty smart. Now, for instance, tonight I have 10 that I want to bounce off of you. 10, to start my message, of the most famous advertising slogans. How many of you can associate with a product is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to give you the slogan. You tell me what the product is. I'm sure most of you will know all of these. Keep track of how many you get, would you please? Number one, it takes a licking, keeps on a ticking. How many said Timex? Exactly right. Be all that you can be. U.S. Army. Melts in your mouth, not in your hands. M&M's. The breakfast of champions. Well, everybody knows that. Good to the last drop. When it rains, it pours. Morton Salt. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Alka-Seltzer. You have to sing along some of these, you know. Don't leave home without it. What is it? American. I thought I heard somebody say MasterCard. That was Joel Willoughby, in case you want to know. Twice tonight, same thing. It's a real thing. Coca-Cola. And number 10, so easy a caveman can do it. All right, how many got all 10? Let me see your hand, you got all 10. Good, good. Now, if you guess them all, now think with me about this. If you guessed every one of those advertisers have accomplished their goal. Amen? Now, as I thought about that, I was thinking about this message. I was preparing to preach this sermon. I got to wondering, imagine you're watching the Super Bowl game on Super Bowl Sunday. Some of your friends, it's of course after church. And suddenly every television in the world blinks. And a voice says, we interrupt this game for a word from our sponsor, the real sponsor, the loving God.
But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall a flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life.
Wow. That was pretty awesome. Right in the middle of our message tonight, we've heard from God. Get your Bible, look at Isaiah 43, 1 through 4, and see if it's not word for word what you just heard. Wow, that's amazing. If God had only 30 or 40 seconds for a message to humanity, what do you think it would say? I think it would say exactly what you just heard. Isaiah 43, 1 through 4. Would it be neat if God would just preempt your television show and deliver a personal message to all of us? Well, you know, God really did that. He did preempt all of our shows. And he wrote it down in the book. And it's called the Bible. Wow. A word from the living God. Let's examine this fourfold message in the Word of God tonight. Number one, let's see what God has to say. Roman numeral one in your notes, please, if you will. First of all,
I made you.
Wow. But now saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Do you see, ladies and gentlemen, in Isaiah 43, verse 1, God simply said, I created you. I formed you. Do you know what God is saying? He's simply saying, I made you. Say, preacher, what's so dynamic about that? As long as people have breath, they will come to, I think, continue to debate the origins of the universe and mankind. And one side always says the universe came into existence through a natural phenomenon, like the Big Bang theory. And we are simply just carbon-based life forms who evolved from a single cell, protozoa. The other camp says there's an intelligent being. His name is God. And he created the universe. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody ought to be shouting amen right there. I said, there's a created being. There's a being, an intelligent being, who said, I formed you. I made you. I created you. God, the great God of heaven, said, I made you. They say about that, Dr. Gordon, who wrote Designed on Purpose. By the way, if you want to get a website that's really a good website, jot this one down, www.designedonpurpose.com. Woo, that's a good website. Dr. Gordon has found the signature of God, he said, on every single part of creation, from outer space to every microscopic organism. And somehow, I want you to know tonight that I, and I believe you, ought to agree with Dr. Gordon's research that God designed and created everything in our universe. God said, I made you. What does that have to say about God? God said, I made you. Now, if you believe that God made you, then you can believe he has a purpose for you. Are you listening to me? If you believe that God made you, he must have had a design, he must have had a purpose for why he made you. But here's where our world is today. We're not sure that God made us. So if I'm simply a biological accident, then tell me on planet Earth, what possibility do I have to understand what I'm here for? If I'm an accident, if I'm a biological accident, why am I here? Nobody knows. But ladies and gentlemen, if God made you, he made you for a purpose. And God said, I created you. I formed you. Everybody in this house tonight, everybody listening by radio, is made by God for a purpose. Because God is our maker, that means that when something goes wrong with our lives, we should consult the maker. When an appliance breaks down in my house, I usually don't try to repair it. You know why? Because I make it worse. You know what I try to do if an appliance breaks down? I call the one who made it. If it's GE, I call GE, repairman. Or if it's Whirlpool, Whirlpool. I find out who it is that made this thing because he knows how to put it together. I don't. When our lives become broken down, ladies and gentlemen, you can't fix your life by yourself. You got to call on God, our maker, and allow him to fix your life. If you're here coming to RU on Friday night, yeah, the program is fantastic. And we're going to show you a little snippet after the service about RU. It's fantastic. But ladies and gentlemen, it is not the program. It is not this church. It's not me. It's the God of heaven who made you, who knows exactly how to fix you. I wish I had a program that could fix everybody, but I don't. I wish I knew how to fix everybody, but I don't. And so I have to go back to the Maker who does know how to fix everybody. His name is God. So that first point, you're looking at me and saying to yourself, if God broadcast a commercial, what would he say? He would say, first of all, I made you. Secondly, God would say,
I bought you.
I bought you. Now here's what he said. Verse 1. But now saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Whew. That word redeem means to buy back. In most commercials, the sponsor is trying to get you to buy something. But our sponsor is saying, I've already done the buying. I've bought you. I've bought you. That word redeem was used in association with the sale of slaves. The best way to illustrate the idea, of redemption is from the story in the life of Hosea and Gomer. Hosea was one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament, and Gomer was his wife. Hosea married Gomer, and they had children, three of them exactly. But Gomer wasn't feeling fulfilled. And so she abandoned her husband and her three children, and she ran to seek happiness in the arms of other men. Gomer's life spiraled downward until she was forced to sell herself into slavery. Read the Bible. It's such an important chapter in the book. And while she was being unfaithful, Hosea never stopped loving her. And one day, as Gomer was auctioned off as a slave to another man who would use her and abuse her, she heard in the bidding a familiar voice. She had heard that voice before, she thinks to herself. Who is that? From her weakened position of being abused and used, she looks up to see who it is that's doing the bidding for her, a no-good slave. And as she looks up, it's her husband, Hosea. The bidding rises 10 shekels. Hosea said 11. Another man said 12. It continued until Hosea had bid all the silver he had, 15 shekels. Then he said, plus, I'll pay 10 bushels of barley. Sold to the older gentleman over here to my right, the auctioneer says. So Hosea buys back his wife. He redeemed. I can only imagine the fear that must have been going through Gomer's mind. Why was he buying me? Is he going to say to me, now I paid good money for you. I'm going to treat you like the slave you are. I'm going to teach you a lesson, woman, for leaving me and the kids. Is that what he's going to do? You'll never forget leaving me and the kids. But instead of doing all that, Hosea loved her. And he said to Gomer, Gomer, I love you. And I bought you back so I could spend the rest of my life with you as my wife. That's why I bought you. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this to you this evening. That's what God's done for us. Oh, you ought to shout right now somewhere in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. That's what God has done for us. We each owed a debt so high we could never repay it. So Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid the highest price possible to redeem us from sin. He paid the gold of his blood and the silver of his tears. Go with me to 1 Peter, please, in your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's what God did for us. Listen, everyone in this building, and maybe there's still somebody who owes a great debt of sin. You can never pay your own sin debt. But aren't you thankful you don't have to? Jesus Christ paid that sin debt as he died on the cross. Well, if God would intercede and somehow interrupt our programming on our TVs, what would be the word from our sponsor? God would broadcast a commercial, what would he say? First of all, I think he'd say, I made you. Secondly, I think he'd say, I bought you. I bought you. Third thing I think God would say,
I will be with you.
Somebody ought to shout, I will be with you, he says. When you're in over your head, how many of you have ever been in a situation over your head? I'll be with you. How many ever said, preacher, I'm in some rough waters right now, and I'm going down. How many of you ever felt some rough waters around you, and you said, man, I feel like I'm about going down? How many of you have said to yourself, because this is kind of like our vernacular, how many of you said, God, church, preacher, I'm between a rock and a hard place. I don't know what to do with my life. I'm between a rock and a hard place. How many have ever been there? You know what the language means, don't you? I don't know what to do. You know, when you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Because God says, I am with you. Look at the writing of the scripture. When thou passest through the waters, verse number 2, Isaiah 43, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Aren't you glad for the wonderful verse, Isaiah 43, 2? We all wish we had someone to be with us when life gets tough. I'm going to tell you one more time, life's going to get tough again. As much as I like to tell you that life only gets tough once, I can't tell you that. Life gets tough a number of times. For some of us, it seems like it's more than others. And we wonder, why is life so tough? Life does get tough. It does. And we all wish we had somebody to be with us when life gets tough. And that's exactly what God promises, isn't it? Notice in that verse, Isaiah 43, 2, God didn't say some things. He did not say, I'll keep you out of the rough waters. He didn't say that. Don't you ever believe anybody when they preach that kind of doctrine that you won't have any rough waters. If you come to God, you won't have any rough waters. Well, you've come too late to tell us that, because many of us are walking with the Lord. We have some tough waters. I love Nisa. Every time I see her, Nisa, I'm praying for you, hon. She has a little baby inside that says, the doctor says, won't live. That's rough waters. But God said, while you're in those rough waters, Nisa, God will be with you. I don't understand the rough waters. Brother Mott's back there now. Brother Mott, I don't understand all the rough waters that you're facing. But God said, I'll be with you. I know that's what he said. Mrs. Kearns is going to the hospital tonight because of chest pains and arm pain. I just say to her, she's listening, I don't know what that's all about. But I do know one thing. God said, I'll be with you in those rough waters. Ladies and gentlemen, God never promised us no rough waters. The waters will get rough, and sometimes they will get tough. But God said, I'll be with you. How many of you have ever in your life faced some rough waters? Wasn't God there when he said he would be? Even though we didn't understand the rough waters, and I don't understand them yet today. God says, you won't go down. I'll be with you. If you read Isaiah 43, the entire chapter, you'll see that God says 10 times, don't be afraid. You're going to face some scary situations in life. But God says, don't be afraid because I'll be with you. The final experience of all of us will someday be death. We'll all face death. And what does the psalmist say in Psalm 23, verse 4? Look what he says. Yea, though I walk through the valley. You say it to me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Mrs. Shaver, you've been there. Bill just went to glory. But God said, I'll be there. When you lose that mate, when you lose that child, when you lose that husband, when you lose that wife, I'll be there. We all wish we had somebody to be with us, don't we? When life gets tough, and we do have, God and His Holy Spirit is right there with us. What did God say the first three things? First of all, God said, I made you. Secondly, God said, I bought you. And thirdly, God said, I will be with you. Number four, God says,
I love you.
Wow. Wow. God interrupt again and said, I love you. Does that mean anything to anybody in this building? Does that mean anything to anybody here? Amen, it does. How can you know that God loves you? If I ever want to ask a question, that's what I want to ask of everybody who says they're saved and born again. How do you know that God loves you? Well, I'll tell you what. He said it. He said it. He said it clearly. He says it plainly. I love you. Look at that verse again. Isaiah 43, verse number 4. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. He says it plainly. He says you're precious, you're honored. But more than that, he showed us his love. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. He showed us his love. You know, we talk about exchanging it. Almost looks here. If you look at 43, verse 3, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. It almost looks like that he says he will give men in exchange for us. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, I know one thing. I know one man God gave in exchange for me. But Steve, I can't hardly believe he did it. He gave his son Jesus for me. Now that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because I'm not worth a whole bunch. But God gave his son so he could say about me, I made you. I bought you. I'll be with you. And I love you. I'll make the biggest, strongest man cry and somebody shout. Amen. Wow. I started this sermon this afternoon. I almost come uncorked thinking about all this stuff in my office, just not knowing what to do. God said, I made you. I bought you. I will be with you. And I love you. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Just to kind of put a little stamp on this particular verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God in his word says this, for he hath made him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that a powerful truth? God loves you so much that if you had been the only sinner on earth who needed a Savior, Jesus still would have come and died for you. That's an amazing thought. A preacher tells a story, sort of a sad story. When I first read it, I thought, boy, it sounds really good. I got to the end, it wasn't so good. Listen to it. Preacher tells a story of the executive whose teenage son ran away from home and traveled to a large city. When he got in that large city, he learned that his boy had gotten involved in all kinds of drugs. So he called a preacher in that town and asked if he could go and find his son. He's somewhere, preacher. I don't know where he's at, but he's somewhere. The pastor finally found the young man, worked with him for several weeks, shared the salvation plan with him, and you know what? The young man prayed and received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. That's why I really liked the story. I thought, man, that's a great story. Preacher's called up and told to go see a young man, and he finally finds him after several weeks and works with him for another several weeks and finally leads him to the Lord. And so then he's got him to where he wants him, and he's got him in his office, and he said to the young man, go to the outer office and pick up the phone when I call your daddy. I'm going to call your daddy. I'm going to tell him that I found you and that you're a born-again believer. Pick up the extension when I tell you. So he called his daddy and told him to pick up the extension. He did. Father answered the phone. The preacher told him, I found your son. And Dad, I want you to know that your son accepted the Lord Jesus as his personal Savior. The father said this in the ears of his own son. I don't really care about that. I want to know how long his hair is. Has he had a bath? Is he ready to apologize to his mother? The young man was so disappointed he ran out of the study crying and never saw his daddy. His love for his son was conditional. If you meet these requirements, son, then I'll love you. But aren't you glad that God's love for us is totally unconditional? He loves us in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our sins, in spite of all of our shortcomings. God loves us. So if God preempted television programming, delivered a 30 or 40 second commercial, here's what our sponsor would say. Help me out. He would say, first of all, I made you. Secondly, he would say, I bought you. Thirdly, he would say, I will be with you. And fourthly, he would say, I love you. Here's my decision tonight with you, and you need to make a decision for the Lord. How in the world can you refuse an offer like that? How could anybody ever refuse an offer like what I've just described to you? God's offer. God isn't offering a product. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight God's offering a personal relationship. But I will tell you this, it's a limited time, because you may not be able to accept this tomorrow. Go with me to Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. Look at Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Hold it, everybody. Hold it, everyone. Are you listening? This is a limited time offer here. This relationship God wants to make with you. He said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Will you accept his offer tonight? In order to do so, you must be willing to forsake your sinful past and your sinful life. That certainly doesn't mean that you have to be perfect, because if you had to be perfect, nobody here would ever qualify, because none of us are perfect. But what it simply means is God is offering you gold, the gold of his grace. And you know what we have? Here we have in our hands all kinds of stuff. And what we have in our hands is a bunch of garbage. And God comes offering us the gold of his grace. And we say, but God, I am so full of what I've got in my hands. And all it is, ladies and gentlemen, is garbage. God said, I'm going to give you gold, but my hands are full. You know what we ought to do? Drop what's in our hands and receive God's gold. Am I going to take the offer tonight? Am I going to say to you, God, I'm ready. Maybe I've never satisfied myself with God. Maybe I've never dedicated myself like I should. Tonight's the night. I know it's Wednesday. Say, preacher, this would have been good on Sunday. No, it's good on Wednesday. The crowd God brought was tonight. To hear the message. Dealt with my heart all day about it. God knows there's somebody who needs to transfer all the garbage you've been carrying and throw it aside and accept God's wonderful gold of grace. What a God. But we must be really willing to release the garbage. But it is limited. One day you're going to die. And after you die, the offer of salvation is no longer available. You may think, well, I'm young and healthy and I've got lots of time. But there's another event that could change this offer. Jesus Christ is going to return someday without a warning. And when he does, the offer changes. So the only certain time you have is tonight while we're here. You know, the goal of television commercials is to get you to respond by buying a product. You've heard the word of God tonight. How will you respond? Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you dedicated to Christ? Is there something that's awry in your life? Something that's not exactly true? Dump the garbage and get the gold. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.